Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello, everyone. Happy Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Whew, lots of words there. What does it mean? First of all, the solemnities in the liturgical calendar are the highest of the high days, the feast days, if you will. So anything that has solemnity, it's the top of the ladder. Next are feast days. And then the third rung are memorials. Just a heads up on that. And yes, today is a holy day of obligation. But if you're going, oh man, I gotta go figure out how to get to Mass, then you need an attitude adjustment. Why? Because we need to be so thankful and so grateful and venerate Mary, not worship her, but really thank her for giving her entire life. Everything to God. And God honestly gave her the grace to be perfect. She is sinless because she was fulfilling, she didn't have the stain of original sin by God's grace in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, because she was going to fulfill what Jesus was going to do, come down from heaven, be born to her immaculately. Now, today is not about Jesus's birth or conception. It's not about Mary's birth either. It's about Mary's conception in her mother's womb, Saint Anne. From the moment of her conception, God filled her with grace. And then, of course, with her yes and her fiat, when the angel Gabriel came and talked to her, she said, yes, be it done unto me according to thy word. Boom, there changes everything. So today we should be so grateful to be attending Mass, because without her being conceived, we wouldn't have Jesus in the Eucharist. We wouldn't have Jesus' church. We wouldn't have Jesus who came here purposefully as a baby. Because if you don't think that child sacrifice has been going on since the very beginning, you don't understand the battle of good and evil. That's the whole deal. The more innocent, the more rewarding it is in hell. So yeah, let's take the most innocent child, a baby, and let's kill it. That's why abortion is also a child sacrifice to these people who have these horrific things that they do to the babies after they're dead, and even while they're in the womb, pulling them limb by limb. It's again evil. But Mary, she had to be perfect. If you go back to the Old Testament, they were carrying around the tabernacle, the big gold thing that was holding the manna and all of their, you know, little ritual, you know, cups and things like that for their Jewish practices. What would make you think that bringing the Messiah of the world, do you think they're going to put it in a person who is defiled? Do you think God, the Father, would do that? Of course course he wouldn't. Hello. And that's also why she didn't have any relations, why there's no other children other than Jesus that immaculately was conceived through God himself, the Holy Spirit. I mean, people, it really does make sense when you just kind of think about it. And let's remember that they didn't have words for cousin and things like that back in the old biblical days. So they used words like brothers and sisters all the time to talk about family members that were extended family members. Okay, not literal brothers and sisters. Let's really think about that for a moment. Mary was set apart. She was chosen. She had great, what was it? Let me see. Hang on. Great favor with God. Hang on. Let me go down to this. Because I wanted to read it. I just didn't have it right in front of my face. Okay, let's do this. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." There again, the child to be born will be called holy. There's no way that they are going to put a holy God into a defiled person. "Oh, and behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And guess what? She then jumped on her mule or whatever, and she went to the hill country. And you know what that mystery is all about? When she did the visitation, it was about serving her cousin. Here Mary just gets told that she's going to be the stinking mother of God. And the first thing she does is get on her mule and go help out her cousin Elizabeth, who's in her sixth month of pregnancy. And she stays there until the birth of the baby. But what an amazing woman this is. And this is how we need to live. We need to look at Mary as a human being, not a divine human being, just a human being filled with the grace of God, who has fully given herself to God. And look, we need to be like Mary, and we can be like Mary. Mary knew that living in accordance with God was going to give her the joy that surpasses anything that this world tells us will make us happy. No drug, no food, no substance, no person, no activity, no lust, no fantasy, no nothing, nothing that this world offers is going to give us that peace, that joy, that love that surpasses all understanding. So why, when it's so simple, just to say yes, yes, God, I'm going to take it every moment with you. I'm going to take all of my weak times, and I'm going to turn to you and take your grace, because you've told me that you will give me just enough grace to walk away from that temptation and to do your will. The problem lies within us. Because we like to confuse it. It's us in conjunction with the evil spirits who are trying to keep us in our little sinful lives, right? Maybe you may not be in mortal sin, but you're certainly maybe gluttonous, or you don't have full self-control. Maybe you're battling with, you know, some vices, some emotions like anger and fear and anxiety and worry and resentment and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're all dealing with something. Everyone is dealing with something. But what happens is we've trained our bodies to be doing certain things at certain times of the day. So if it's you and a glass of wine or two or three or a bottle or two, that starts at 5 o'clock, you've got to change that habit. You have to replace it with something else. Maybe you start getting into tea, or maybe you start all these different kind of fizzy flavored waters, which I'm not all about, by the way. Just have regular water with some lemon. I mean, those flavors are fake. So, I mean, but if that's what it takes, you know, then that's what it takes. Or don't have any alcohol in it and just have some seltzer water with a lime or lemon. And that can be the replacement, because your body is expecting what you've trained it to have for decades, for years, whatever. And you yourself are going to fall into the trap of, I'm not having any fun if I'm not doing this, or I'm not, you know, chumming along with the crowd. Let's say all your buddies are bar drinkers and bar goers, and you're trying to cut down on drinking. And so you're at the bar and you're not doing what they're doing. I don't know how much fun you're having, but you can also see what people look like when they're drunk. I don't know if you've ever been to a party or to a bar when you're the designated driver, or you're not drinking for some reason. I have zero desire to ever do that. It's horrible, horrible. Anyway, this is why if we're not paying attention, we're going to fall into this big confusion, right? Satan and his minions are going to attack you. You are going to attack you because your lower faculties are still in control of your body and your mind. So you got to step up. You got to make that decision. And you have to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And I just had an email conversation with someone who's battling this. And I said, it's helpful if you talk to someone, if you're married, and maybe it is drinking, or maybe it's eating, overeating, and that's the thing that you do with your spouse. You guys go out to dinner a lot, and you choose a lot of bad foods, and, you know, have a conversation with your spouse. Say, hey, you know, I'm starting to get a little concerned. That's what I did with my husband a couple years ago. Gosh, it might be 5 years ago now. Man, how time flies. Yeah, 5 years ago or so. And I said, you know what? I'm having a problem. I need to stop drinking, period. Because I don't know if I can. I can't remember the last time that I haven't had alcohol at one point in time during the day or night. And my 5 o'clock was getting earlier and earlier. You know, I even was starting to schedule offsite meetings at bars at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, like, so for me, I had to share that, be vulnerable with my husband and say, I don't even know if I can quit. I think I need to do this. And so then he knew why and supported me. He goes, all right, you know what? I'll do it with you. So it became a thing that we did together. But even if it wasn't, because right now I'm not drinking and he is, and there's no problems. I mean, he knows I go through these through these things where I stop certain stuff. But what it's really doing is it's helping me see that I don't need it, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't make my night any happier. As a matter of fact, it makes it better because I don't wake up with any kind of hangover. I remember exactly what I said, and I don't say things that I will regret the next day or feel guilty because I overdid it. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny, with me, it's an all or nothing thing. And so then I got to find this sweet spot of, okay, if this is how it's going to be with how you and your husband hang out, then have two drinks. I've done that too. That's probably harder than having nothing, for me at least. I'm just sharing with you my own struggles and battles. But the key point is this. You just gotta decide. And then when you tell someone, it makes a difference. I'm telling you, it goes back to the very pivotal moment. First of all, I went to... this is before I went to confession. So the pivotal moment for me was the night before Easter in 2013. I'm drinking and I'm eating everything in the house. My husband and I are going to start a cleanse the next day on Easter Sunday. I haven't gone to confession yet. I am not on this path yet. I'm about ready to step foot in the church, you know, after being gone for decades. I mean, almost like 30 years. Bottom line of this whole thing was, if I did not tell my family that night at 11:30 that I needed to go to bed because I was going to go to church, and by the way, it wasn't going to be a Catholic church, it was going to be a different kind of church, I wouldn't have gone. I guarantee you, I would not have gone. Because the next morning, I thought, oh my gosh, whose stupid idea is this? The alarm went off. I was hungover. I was bloated. I mean, the last thing I wanted to do was go to church. But I did. Why? Because I told my whole family that I was going to. And so, oh yeah, I laid in that bed with all the excuses in the world. But the one thing that I couldn't deal with was my whole family following up on the how did church go, and me say, oh yeah, I didn't go. You know, so that's what made me get up. This is why I tell you to comment on my videos. This is why I tell you to put things out there, for a couple of reasons. Number one, so that I know what's going on. And some of you take more personal approaches and you send me emails or things like that that, you know, you share with me. And that's cool too. But I also want you to know that you being vulnerable and you kind of putting yourself out there makes others feel more comfortable about being human. So many of us deal with addictive personalities to substances, to food, to alcohol, to drugs, to entertainment. Some of us can be also just spending hours and hours and hours streaming or looking at social media, and we disconnect ourselves. And all it takes is a decision and then to tell someone. I offer coaching. That's part of the coaching process, is the accountability. I have helped people with accountability with prayer, accountability with using the sacraments, accountability with changing behaviors, with really the whole walk, which is conforming to Jesus and dealing with sin. And how do you get back up? And how do you, you know, life is life. It's not easy. But we can look at Mary. I'm going to wrap this up because it's getting long. We can look at Mary and say, please, Mary, help form Jesus in us. Help us go to your son and be more like you, because you had the Holy Spirit filled in you. And that's what we want. So let's specifically pray to Mary. And again, I was laying in bed thinking about my dad and praying to Mary. Let's call on her. She's here for us. She was given to us with Jesus on the cross, looking down and said, behold your mother. And when St. John took her into his home, he really took her into his heart. And that's what we all need to do, to bring her into our heart so that she can take our petitions to Jesus. And hopefully Jesus never denies her. We've always heard that, but I don't know. Do we know that for sure? I know he loves his mom, and his mom is 100% pure. We have selfish desires in our petitions. There's no doubt. Sometimes we could be praying for things that we think are so holy and so good for everybody that, gosh, why wouldn't God want this? But then somehow, some way, there's some bit of selfishness or impurity in that prayer or in that petition that Mary will identify. And Mary will say, yes, we want this, Jesus. And let me make it all pretty and present it to you. It goes back to, I'm sorry, I just keep talking, but things just keep coming into my head. It goes back to the monarchy, you know, where you had a king and a queen, or, you know, the king, the son would be the one, you know, in charge, but the mother would be the one that kind of was the one that was really in charge, you know, like in order to get to the king, you had to get to the queen or the son. In order to get to her son, you had to go through the queen or in some, I think you guys get what I'm talking about. If you don't, I wish I could give you back that last 10 seconds. Okay, speaking of which, 10 minutes, we're going to be at 30 minutes. So I'm going to wrap this up. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, please open our hearts to your chosen daughter, Mary, our beloved mother, the one who has come and shown herself to her children so many times, have told us what we need to do. Pray for the sinners. Pray for our love of God, and also pray for those who are indifferent to Mary, for the reparation of everyone's souls. But we don't really do that. And we're sorry, Mary. We will take heed to every message that you have sent to us. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And clean up our lives. We know that that's the next part. Stop sinning. And so we look to you. And we ask that you take our petitions to Jesus, that you ask him to change our hearts so that we no longer desire to do these things, that we ask you to change our hearts and heal our souls so that we can be that witness and glorify God to those around us who can see that our lives are different by the way in which we have self-control, by the way in which we bridle our tongues, and by the way in which we love people with no judgment. Love them right where they are. Mary, we need to imitate you more. So we want a relationship with you. And on this beautiful solemnity, we ask that you come into our hearts more and more every single day so that you can bring us to your Son. We know that's your only job. Guardian angel, please be loud and clear with all the messages from God that you want to give us today. And please rally all of the holy angels and saints around us to help fight the good fight, keeping those evil spirits away from us and reminding us to call on the power of Jesus when we are tempted to be vicious in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. In your holy name, merciful name, and loving name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you, Mary. When you attend Mass, if you've already attended Mass, maybe it wasn't all that reverent. Maybe you can stop and take a couple seconds, a couple minutes, maybe a little bit better, and just say, thank you, Mary. I'm so grateful for your birth. I'm so grateful for you in my life. And I'm so grateful for you in my life. I just want to say thanks for all your prayers. I don't know what's going on, everyone. I have to update you on my dad. This is going to be a little bit longer. If you don't want to hear my dad, you can just bounce off. Okay. Yesterday was the first day that he was off of this antiviral medicine. They're trying to peel him off of the meds. He's doing great on his liver and his kidneys. Yesterday was the first day that he held on to platelets. They usually go down to 8, and then they put another bag in him and it goes up to 10. Well, he held at 11 yesterday. In addition, they've been giving him transfusions of blood. These are the things that are keeping him in the hospital. And yesterday was the first day that he did not have a blood transfusion because his hemoglobin number stayed at 8. A good number is 7. So I don't know, but I put 2 and 2 together and I said, it must be that antiviral drug. It must have been keeping him down because I told you I sleuthed it out. Remember, thinker. The thinker, I kept thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, going, wait a minute, Thanksgiving, he was a different guy. So yesterday, I'm on the phone with the doctor. I haven't seen my dad. I see him Saturday, tomorrow. I'm on the phone with the doctor yesterday, and I said, when was he given that antiviral medicine? He goes, about 2 weeks ago. Do you know that yesterday was Thursday? 2 weeks prior to that was Thanksgiving. This is when everything went downhill. My dad was great on Thanksgiving. We were saying he was probably going to be home in a week. And then, check this out. I was pretty happy that I did not let this one go. Then we had the infectious disease person who's looking over all these drugs come in later yesterday and said, oh no, your father had that drug yesterday. He was supposed to not have it. The doctor said to take him off, but he had it yesterday. And I was like, okay, I was inclined to believe the infectious disease doctor. She's probably the one that knows more than the oncologist, who's the blood guy. But there was something, God, in my heart that didn't allow that to sit. Because I needed to know, wait a minute, then that doesn't mean that my hypothesis about this drug is correct then, if he had it yesterday, but yet all these numbers are showing improvements in the blood, you know, not the other numbers. Those are still showing more better improvements. End game, I said, you know what? I can't let this go. I need to know, was he given that drug yesterday or not? And she said, hold on a minute. She looked it up and she said, oh, my apologies. He was not given that drug yesterday. I mean, again, you got to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, even if it's uncomfortable to call someone out. I mean, I'm basically calling this chick out saying, hello, I don't think that is the case. Tell me, you know, I did it in a nice way, but I was so relieved that I did. Can you imagine the confusion and the questioning in the mind? Did he or didn't he? Did he or didn't he? You know? And she also said, well, it was also bacteria. He's, you know, he's cured from his staph and his strep and some other thing that he had, like some herpes simplex 1. I mean, dude, whatever he could possibly get, he gets. And that's all cleared up. And she's like, well, it could also be the bacterial infection clearing up as well. And I said, that didn't happen back in Thanksgiving. You know, and again, I'm just thinking, I'm asking God to lead me. I'm taking my emotions away and trying to think rationally with data, with facts, with just looking at my dad. I mean, that's where my brother and I are at. Like, yeah, you could keep all your numbers and stuff it where the sun don't shine until we see him being a different guy. He's not better, you know? Anyway, we don't stuff anything where the sun don't shine. But I just want to say prayer and Mary, and I don't know, again, this process is just amazing. I'm grateful for it. I cannot believe I'm saying that, but I am grateful for it. I will not take my father for granted, you know, in these days if he is going to pull out of this and I only have a few more months in this area, which is where he lives. I mean, this really did and continues to make my priorities the right priorities. You know what I'm saying? Everything becomes super clear on what is important, what is not important. And again, when you're battling stuff and when you're struggling with stuff, that's where turn to Mary. She'll lead you to Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you love Mary like he does. I cannot believe I am making this a 30-minute podcast. Oh my goodness. Okay. What a journey. So blessed to be walking with you. You've got this. Just make the decision. Tell God. Tell someone else. Get some help on the journey. And take it day by day. Don't overwhelm yourself. That's the honest key to everything, including what I'm going through with this crisis stuff. How many times have I come to you with the ups, the downs, the two steps back, the one, you know, giant step forward, the 17 steps back, you know, like how many times am I all over the map? And in some cases, yeah, I get emotional about it. I get sad. I am a crier, period. But that doesn't mean that I'm also not at full peace and not, you know, looking at this whole thing and seeing all of the, you know, when they say the silver lining in the cloud, I mean, I just see, you know, gold Eucharistic monstrances everywhere. I just see Jesus just shining his light throughout everything. It's just amazing. Okay. Wow. I will come with a Saturday morning with, I don't even know if it'll be morning. I'm just going to do Saturday with Kendra. Saturday with Kendra, I will come, hopefully. I don't know if I'll be doing it in the hospital or if I can get it done today, but I will continue on with a couple of my insights, let's just say that, as you reflect on your soul, mind, and body. Okay? And as we're going through this Advent season, what are you struggling with already? I myself, oh, we'll talk about that later. Listen to me. Like I'm walking around my house talking to you guys and you're not here and I can't put this down. All right. I love you all. Find something more with God, soul, mind, and body, and have a blessed and inspired day.